You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
I told him on the front end, usually when I say I love you to someone, I'm lying.
Let's start there with no context whatsoever. Usually when I say I love you to someone, I'm lying. Mike Ryan is excited today. Came in. Oof. Stu Gotch, Jesus.
I turned the mic off, man.
I know,
that was
I know.
For you only.
I didn't even find
really
you. It was unbelievable how loud it was. Stu Gotch has been complaining about not feeling well for a while, says he's taken COVID tests, but whether he's saying I love you or saying he's taken COVID tests, you never know what's actually true.
Dude, that shit is everywhere again.
It's everywhere, but I will tell you that Abby will not let me leave. She has so much respect for all of you and for the fact that many of you have young kids at home. She will not let me leave the house sounding the way I sound without taking a COVID test first. So I have taken one of the last 2 days. Thankfully, I'm negative, but I feel like shit.
This is the part of the show where I say that I don't believe you, Stu Gotch.
Wow. Call her. You have her number.
Okay.
Okay.
That's the next move.
It's look it up by phone is what it is. Look it up by phone.
It is process.
I understand why, and I don't know if we're ever going to separate ourselves from that, but... You feel like shit when you come into work just because you got a negative test. You get a positive test and you feel fine, but you don't come into work. It's just odd to me. Don't come into work if you're feeling like shit.
What am I supposed to do? I mean,
you don't have to come into work if you're feeling like shit.
Well, you gut it out, man. It's playoff time. What are you talking about?
Right. It is playoff time.
You know what? I appreciate you.
Thank you.
And if you want to check out the playoff coverage deep in the bowels of the arena, Chris Cody and Roy Bellamy were in a sad, haunted building, just sort of whispering into microphones. I don't know why you would want that team. I don't know why you would welcome that team. Do you know how hard it is to win the championship in hockey, and they've done it two times. They are in no way scared of the Panthers.
What happened to fear? Maximum fear. We're in the second round of the playoffs. No,
this is fair, except I don't have that stuff with the Heat because I've seen the Heat do it. I don't like when the Heat go up against Boston. They're not afraid of Boston. They don't think Jason Tatum is anything that is too special for them to handle. Boston, I'm guessing, as Russillo and Simmons sounded the alarms last night on a third quarter. They said they're concerned and alarmed about the worst third quarter in 4 years for the Celtics. And I believe the country is saying you can't win with Max Strus and Gabe Vincent. You will not win with Max Strus and Gabe Vincent. They will not keep doing that.
Yeah, Philadelphia said that.
But they keep doing it,
and they're gonna keep winning. You're not good enough to win the Stanley Cup if you're not good enough to beat the worst incarnation of the Tampa Bay Lightning over the last 3 years. They have to do this. This is something that the Panthers just have to do. They have to be the ones that eliminate Tampa. If not this year, then next year. I want Tampa Bay, even if they eliminate us this year. I'm not trying to duck Tampa Bay. I told you. I want to beat Tampa as badly as I want to win the cup.
Do you understand the distinction I'm making when I'm always arguing on behalf of welcoming fear? You welcome the fear when you think you're good enough, but you might lose. The fear feels totally different when you're not sure you can win. When you're not sure that your team is good enough to beat the team that is opposite that team. I don't have any proof that anybody the last 2 years can beat that team in the playoffs.
Well, no one has. That's why. They've won back-to-back Stanley Cups.
But they should have lost in Game 6.
They should have lost.
They should have lost in Game 7. Vasilevskiy stood on his head, and again
But I'm scared of that dude, too.
He's so good.
He's incredible. Yeah. He's incredible. He is the boogeyman.
They pelted him.
He's the difference,
I was
Dan.
Just sitting in my seat, cursing at him. I was cursing at him, just saying, I bleeping hate you.
I hate you. Roy, am I wrong that they had more opportunities in that game for goals, like clean opportunities where you're like, okay, this is some open ice situation, than they had in the entire Boston series?
Washington, rather.
You and Chris Cody over here getting Carolina.
it's going to be the Heat and Boston. I'm going to mix them.
It's tricky. At some point, I'm going to make the Celtics,
Tampa Bay.
Roy, there was certainly a hell of a lot more space on the ice for the Panthers to play their game, and they did to a degree, and they just ran into the best goalie in the world in the playoffs.
Yeah, they had a 4-3 in the second period. There was a lot of open ice in that game, but the third period, they shut them down. That's just the way it is. Tampa just kept the puck and completely took the Panthers out of it.
Yeah, it settled in on the team that they just weren't beating Vasilevskiy after that save that he made on Bennett. What do you make of the scouting report that they clearly have on Vasilevskiy? We saw a lot of shots miss high. I guess that's how you beat Vasilevskiy. In the playoffs, in hockey, just generally, I'm always put it on the net guy. The puck is oddly shaped. It's on ice, for God's sakes.
Just don't miss the net, though.
Don't miss the net. And we saw a goal got taken off the board after a successful challenge because they missed high and it went off the net.
Well, that's where the game changed right there with that reversal, right? Yeah. The game was never the same after that.
Yeah, but I mean, they still had their chances afterwards, but what do you make of the strategy of just beat 88 high?
Well, you saw on the Anthony DeClaire goal, you saw how patient he was. He waited until he got low, shot high. That's where the Panthers have been aiming block aside high. And that's where all the weight is on the goaltender. You got the block and the stick. So that's what they aim to. And I'm good with that strategy.
Roy, you said go high, though. That goal, the goal that they scored was a thing of beauty. It's Huberto between three guys just waiting
magnificent. You get displaying that kind of patience in the playoffs.
You had to be perfect in order to score the one goal you got. Huberto had to be like, how did he even thread that pass through there?
It's just the same guys doing it, man. It was Vasilevskiy. It was Kucherov putting Ekblad in an absolute blender. And for the Panthers, unfortunately, it's also the same guys. Mackenzie Weegar is Keith Yandel in disguise.
So bad.
Since the very first minute of these playoffs, Weegar has been out of his depth. He is killing this team. He got a penalty 20 seconds into the game this game. At what point does Mackenzie Weegar do anything that Bruno says, maybe I shouldn't play this guy this much? Why is this guy playing this much? What is the punitive measure we can take on Mackenzie Weegar to make sure he doesn't see the ice as much?
I did not see you enraged today by Mackenzie Weegar.
I'm locked in on this guy.
He turns the ball over in his own end. It's a puck.
Holy hell, that's a fine.
He also had what you mentioned was the penalty. It was 18 seconds into the game,
Not disciplined. Slow. I don't know what he is doing out there. He looks like he looks like an unprofessional. He looks like they just plucked some guy that knew how to skate and they put him in the lineup. I do not know what he is doing. At what point do we stop playing this guy this much?
Well, he had two penalties in the game. The second penalty led to the Corey Perry goal where Aaron Ekblad got undressed.
And Brunette knows that there's something going on with Weegs because 3 games ago he's
Weegs.
Like, he gets a little too excited and the game just happens to develop a little too fast for him, and that's where mistakes can be made. But we have faith in this guy. He's let you down 3 times since then. He has been by far the worst player in a red sweater. I don't know what he has to do to stop being put out there, but how has it not been done yet?
He's been demoted defensive pairing. He's on the second defensive pairing now.
Put him on the defensive pairing that has him sitting next to me.
Red sweater.
You want him in your seat, like right next to you?
I want to talk to him. We got beef, me and Mackenzie Weegar. I've been going off on this guy for weeks.
It's wild. Everyone in the crowd is mad at Mackenzie Weegar. How do we fans who are like drunk, like how do we see this? And yet he's still playing in crucial moments every game.
Dude, we calm down. Drunker than I am.
Now, Mike, can we calm down? Seriously, I know you're mad at Weegar. I understand it. Okay, Mackenzie needs to play better. They've been the best team in hockey the entire season. They were down 1-0 to the Capitals. So they're down 1-0 to the Lightning, okay? Can we calm down and just see how the series plays out?
The series ended last night.
Come on.
Tell me all the times Vasilevsky's lost back-to-back games at the playoffs. I'll wait.
I mean, Mike, he's won back-to-back Stanley Cups.
Tell me all the time.
They're 18-0 after losses.
Because to win this series, the Florida Panthers are going to have to beat Vasilevsky twice in a row now. Think about that. So now, get back to me on the times that you've seen 88 lose back-to-back games in the playoffs. You done thinking? Because it's never. He never loses back-to-back games.
Last night was a disaster. You're calling the series a wrap right now?
Historically,
Mike,
you have a goalie that never loses after he loses one game. He never loses back-to-back. You are now in a situation in which you have to win back-to-back to win this series. How are you going to do it?
By staying out of the penalty box. 3 power play goals last night.
And
that's
by
how.
Scoring on the power play. Like, what the hell? They're the best offense in the sport.
And they took it away.
We do have back-to-back games, so maybe he won't play a game.
Maybe he'll
get hurt. The lament of the loser.
Well, no, I'm saying back-to-back games. Goalies, I mean, maybe in the playoffs they will. They rarely play back-to-back.
And I'm not going at Bob. Bob's had a good postseason, but this was always our worry entering this series with the Tampa Bay Lightning. You knew you had to face 88, and you needed a goalie to be special at times. Now, Bob has been special, especially in the last series. I'm not going at Bob. But you see the gulf. And Bob, last night was not on Bob. But you see the gulf.
You see the gulf between him and everyone, though. You see the gulf between him and everyone. Let's talk for a second, Mike, because you're hurt today, and I'm surprised you're reacting emotionally. One game does not show any perspective, but that is the disaster game start where you're like, oh, no. Now, it did start that way against Washington, too, where you're like, here come the playoffs. This is what happens in the playoffs. The game changes in the playoffs, and that team is the best. In 2 years, that weird sport where it's always one goal overtime, that team always wins. For 2 years.
Yep.
It's just, it's unfathomable to think how it is that in that sport, which is so random during the postseason, how much better you have to be than everybody to not succumb to one of these flukes or one of these close games. They're just exceptional, and it cannot be argued that the Panthers have played or will play another team of this kind of merit that they have to knock out a two-time champion in this ridiculous sport.
Well, and the amazing thing is that the year before they won back-to-back titles, they had the best regular season record. They won the President's Trophy, not the President's Cup.
Didn't they set a record for points?
They might have.
And 2 years ago.
And then they got hammered by Columbus. They got swept in four games.
By Bob.
Everyone thought they should fire the coach, and it was Sergei Bobrovsky who led the Columbus team that beat them. But this is a completely different proposition now. They've completely exercised those demons.
Way back, if I tell you, you simply just flipped the goalies. Bob on the Lightning.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, we win. Yes.
Running away. We set a record for points in NHL history. Our show is now guilty of not giving the Miami Heat enough respect.
Wait, we will give respect.
Hockey town, though, man.
Where it is due, because
it's such a fan thing that we're doing, Dan, because last night, especially that third quarter, that was a great feeling, and it took a lot of the pain away from that Panther game. But what do we do the very next morning? Our bitter asses are here talking about the loss.
Negativity.
Well, this happened, though, because the reason that this happened is because Roy, you will hear from Roy and Chris in the post-game show, they just sound different than Whittingham and Jeremy.
It's because we were told we were moved. That's another thing.
Well,
that happened.
Remember
when Tim Reynolds got mad at us? That this time they were like, "Can you guys go in this
really
to record?" Yeah.
Oh Jesus.
Yeah, Tim likes to do that. Oh. Yeah, I've heard a lot about Tim Reynolds I've also heard from people that I truly respect stop talking about Tim Reynolds. So this is me not talking about Tim Reynolds. But
I don't know. It was
in the
of
wake
him.
Of, and I'm not going to do another takeout of Tim Reynolds. But I've heard from so many people after I talked about Tim Reynolds, thanking me about talking about Tim Reynolds that I have heard monstrous stories about this guy. And if I'm happy about anything,
I thought you weren't going to.
No, I'm not
going to
talk about Tim Reynolds.
We're here.
But I am happy that there was a public reckoning for Tim Reynolds.
Okay.
Because, dude, you need to stop doing whatever it is you've been doing for the last 20
but
years.
This is what I need to do.
A lot of people got problems.
Mike, this is what I need to do to you.
Mike's
because,
right.
Again, now he's unhinged.
But he's back
again.
At it.
And he's emotional.
Well, first of all,
Gattis doesn't know.
No. He wasn't even there last night.
No. He's back at it.
He ordered the code red. I am telling you right now.
Mike, you said you weren't going to do this.
It could have just been Panthers people trying to avoid confrontation.
No, Reynolds. It was Tim.
Mike, you, after game one of the Atlanta hockey series, this is what I'm going to say to you.
Atlanta does not have a hockey team.
No,
Atlanta,
I'm sorry. Winnipeg. Forgive me. Jeez. The Atlanta
what is
basketball
going on today?
Series.
You have $72.
I'm going to keep doing this. I think it's a good running joke to just confuse all the teams and the sports and the balls.
Yeah, Hartford
because,
still, yeah.
Because everyone is, because we're crazed. So Chris and Roy are at the Panthers arena and they're sad. And it's just a disaster to lose to that team that way at home to start that series. And it looked like the Celtics and the Heat, it looked like the Heat were going to start that way. In the first half, Stephen A. Smith was on at halftime saying the Heat's in trouble.
Yeah.
The Heat's in trouble because they had more paint points, the Celtics did, than any team in a postseason like in 25 years, according to Kirk Goldsberry.
I wasn't watching the ESPN broadcast. I was listening on the radio. But kudos to Jax. He's really improved over the course of the season. Painting a picture.
Radio's hard.
Yeah, but I was listening to Boston local sports radio per my annual tradition of whenever we beat the Celtics, I run to that. And they were telling me that the ESPN broadcast was crowning Jason Tatum at halftime. That he had arrived. He was basically Kobe now.
This is why, though, Mike. In one half, when everybody was watching, the Boston Celtics dismantled the Miami Heat defense, and specifically Jason Tatum was making absurd shots. It's an absurd degree of difficulty shots. And what happened to Tatum at the end of that game, Stugatz, is what happened to Antetokounmpo at the end of the Boston series. Oh, no, I got to go against all of them. This is exhausting.
Yeah.
I'm exhausted. The degree of difficulty on the shots that dude was making in the first half, and at the end of the game, it's like, oh, Jimmy's now, he's going to block my shot. And this P.J. Tucker's up my ass. Like, leave me alone. Leave me alone. This PJ Tucker is a loon going around out there, and it's annoying. And then Bam is blocking people at the rim because that's the worst for third quarter that the Celtics have had in 4 years.
And Tatum's without two of his starters. I mean, those are two important players. Yes,
he needed the help last night. But before we get to that, though, the reason I wanted to talk about the Roy and Chris and Mike Ryan and why we're starting with the grief. And the grief eater doesn't want to start with the grief. But Mike Ryan had a choice to make last night. And the choice he made was a poor one. He went to go see the shit game. He came with an experience that felt like garbage. You've been looking forward to that game. His wife is rabid. His wife wants to fight people in the stands. He goes to that game and you're up 1-0. And you got a beautiful goal to start. And it feels good in that arena. And then it's just pelt, 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 pick away. Oh, no, here we go again with these guys. And again with these guys.
Yeah, I hated that I had a decision to make. And that decision is hurting the Florida Panthers' attendance. I went to last season's playoff series against Tampa Bay. We're all a lot more blue jerseys this time around. There's explanations for that. Tampa won yet another Stanley Cup.
Oh, Mike,
that gets more fans.
One of the explanations is that Tampa, that team is so good. It is one of the most improbable things of my lifetime is that Tampa Bay is a legitimate hockey town.
It's one of the hockey epicenters of this country.
And a baseball town.
Well, no, but they don't actually show up for the baseball
team. No, I know, but they're good at it.
They show up. There were so many Tampa fans at that arena. It was jarring. And I don't know if you've seen their local Twitter accounts that showed what the secondary market was for that game prior to the announcement that they were going in direct conflict with the Miami Heat game. And then afterwards, there were so many Tampa Bay Lightning fans that seized on an opportunity that ESPN and the leagues gave them. Because this direct conflict, people are kind of picking their side. And you're not getting those folks from Miami to drive up to Broward. You're not getting them to go up to Sunrise. What you're getting is a lot of people making the drive over from Tampa now, buying those Panther fan tickets.
And the general sadness that he came in today now is something that has been felt not just by the Panthers, not just by Uyghur. Not, I mean, because he's just ended the season, but also now Tim Reynolds gets dragged. And if we don't get this under control, he will be a rodeo bull the entire show, just defecating and desecrating everybody because he's emotional, because that one hurt last night. That way to that team, when you're begging for that team, I want to go through that team. And one game in, you're like, do I want to go through this team? Because I start pelting their goal, and their goalie does things, and I can't score. And I now the games are boring. Now I'm getting drubbed in the third
it's
period.
It's one game.
It wasn't
guys.
Boring.
It's one game.
It's
Roy,
one
come
game.
On.
No, no,
let's
no.
Get
no
this
come on, knock it off.
We got
Mike.
This. Game long series. One. Long yes. series, Mike.
They need you, Mike.
Snap out of it.
They lost in seven.
Yeah, they need both of you. Let's go, Mike.
Panthers in seven. How do you have us getting to seven?
He could do the thing again. It's never happened.
He's gonna win game six.
Yeah, he's doing it.
We're gonna win game six.
We're gonna win game six.
And then we're gonna win a game after we beat Vasilevsky. I don't understand.
Game
how that
seven
happened.
At
that
home, Mike.
Nope, that
you
doesn't happen.
Fought all season for
sorry, that
the
doesn't
splitting.
Happen.
Mike, you can make the argument he's due to lose back to back.
So we're beating. Exactly. So not only are we beating Vasilevsky on his home ice in an opportunity where he has to clinch the game and the series and go to the Eastern Conference Finals, we're then beating him after we beat him once.
That's right.
In another elimination.
Yeah, that's right.
This is
sorry,
why
I know hockey.
But this is
no,
why he
fit,
no. I'm going to kick you off the bandwagon.
No, I'm there. I'll be there. I'll be in Tampa for game six. I'll be in Tampa for when this game six happens where we win on their home ice. I'm not even saying I'll concede that we win this home ice. It's a whole beating them again right after we beat them thing that I don't see being possible.
And I ask you what the sample has to be, Stugatz, where Mike is saying, like, I'm surprised by his emotion in this, and hockey is weird and random, and you are always scared of a hot goalie, like, just always. That's something that can change everything.
This is not a hot goalie. This is possibly the best goalie in the game. Probably is the best goalie in the game. He's always hot.
Okay,
you know?
But in the postseason, when you've got the best and most exciting offensive team, and this is what you're running into. I don't know what the sample has to be for the audience to say, Mike, you're overreacting. Like, what do you mean it can't be done just because it hasn't been done the last 18 times? 18 times. What does the number have to be before you can push back on, like, no, Mike, we're going to be the first to do it? Because at one point, nobody had ever come down from down 3-0 in a baseball series, and then the Boston Celtics or the Boston Red Sox did it.
Jesus.
To the Yankees.
78.
And it is $20. I will stop and take all $20.
You're
going to
accept that you've made many mistakes and just cover it with a 20?
No, it's just $5 for each mistake so far. I will continue to combine. I will continue to combine the teams and the sports. Yes, Stugatz, the maximum fine is $5. No matter how you've tried to change it recently, unless it is death, unless someone kills someone accidentally, and then it is $50. I don't know why, as you've gotten lazier and older, your fines are just $17 here, $4 there, $9 here. I don't know why you're doing
it. Just
that.
Do it by feel, by gut. I mean, you had him playing hockey with a ball.
That's right. Mike Ryan is emotional today because of how that hurts. And beyond that, he's despondent. And you just heard what I'm surprised to hear after one game. You just heard hopeless. You heard hopeless.
Well,
I wanted this team. Come on, Tampa. One game. Hopeless. And faster than that last night with the Heat, because I know plenty of people were afraid yesterday when they saw that first half. When you saw that first half.
Yeah. And that wasn't feeling good leaving the FLA Live Arena to see what the score was and seeing these highlights of Jason Tatum.
No, but Mike, it wasn't just the highlights. It's like, oh, shit, Robert Williams. Good God, he's screaming through the arena, dunking, blocking everybody. It's like,
his best game ever?
Offensively.
Seriously?
I think that was his greatest offensive game.
In the postseason.
I watched Robert Williams plenty. And you would think that in watching Robert Williams, I'd know who this Pritchard guy was.
But it was stunning. It was stunning to watch the Celtics eat at the rim. Again, I gave you the Goldsberry stats. There hasn't been a half like that. It was just easy. And you're like, wait a minute, why is this easy? Why is this easy for them? And yes, they crowned Tatum. Tatum will be crowned and uncrowned every half for the remainder of this series. And Jimmy Butler will be crowned, because the answer in the analysis at halftime, when it's like the Heat are in trouble, what's the answer? Jimmy Butler. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
There was a dude on the sports hub in Boston that said, I hope I'm wrong about this, but that third quarter, it kind of felt like to me Jimmy Butler stole Jason Tatum's soul.
Hmm.
Well, the two steals is what you don't see.
No, it's the block shot. For me, takes a corner three, Jason Tatum, and it's just a straight up block. That for me feels like game seven legs, but even still, that's stunning. Jimmy Butler is at a significant height disadvantage there, and he gets up to straight up block his shot.
Were you surprised by Jimmy's 41 points?
Well, the stat line I was surprised by because, to God, there hasn't been that stat line since 1974 with steals and blocks and everything else.
Crazy.
Since 1974, you have not seen 41.9543.
Nuts.
In franchise history, I think Dwayne Wade has 7 40-point games. He's a leader. Jimmy has 5. Jimmy hasn't been here long. All 5 are in the postseason for Jimmy.
One of the most confusing basketball players. How?
Stugatz shrugged at me.
Stugatz just like touched his computer as if it was like radio.
He doesn't even know what to Google after hearing that.
Just, I don't know what to do. How did this happen?
When you look at Jimmy Butler and triple doubles and everything else, 50 years from now, people who do not know who LeBron and Dwayne were will say, that Jimmy Butler was the best postseason player the Heat ever had because he's averaging whatever it is, 28 points per game in the postseason. But I want to ask you guys, because when the third quarter torrent started and you have these battles where the stories meet at midcourt, the stories, the Brahma Bulls of stories and legacy, and Jason Tatum, like, he was already getting a little soft. I heard the commentary, Stu, got to be more aggressive, and you want to say to the commentary, hey, it's a little difficult to be aggressive against this defense.
For those in the listening audience, Dan's about to be a writer.
When the stories clash at the center of the court, and twice on a couple of possessions, a guy who in his career is one of only two active players, him and Kawhi Leonard, who have more steals than fouls, who play defense so well that they can guard you without fouling you, that Jimmy Butler would steal the ball twice at midcourt on consecutive possessions to make the place rain down when the halftime commentators were saying the only answer there is here to Jason Tatum, more Jimmy Butler. I mean, Jalen Rose, I sent the sound to Mike and Chris Ryan. He was trying to say Bam Adebayo 5 different ways. Jalen Rose was.
Who's Chris Ryan?
Of the Ringer?
The Ringer? Or Whittingham?
I said I sent it to Ryan and Chris Whittingham.
No, you said Mike and Chris Ryan.
Mike and Chris Ryan.
Yep.
The Hartford Whalers.
Those in the listening audience, Dan is really confused.
Yeah.
I don't know what's happening, but we need to stop playing simultaneous local sports games immediately.
Yes.
Before my host spontaneously combust.
Is it $25
now? So I am appealing.
Yes, just for that one.
The High Court of Sports. Please move this Panther game.
Which is the cooler?
He's off his axis. I mean,
Mike and Chris Ryan.
Which is the cooler thing?
No relation, by the way.
The block shot or the steals?
The steals, because I was on Jimmy Butler over 1.5 for the game.
Nice.
And you got him on back-to-back.
I literally was telling Cynthia while we were listening to the radio, I was like, oh, he's got one steal. I just need one more to cash this thing in. Boom, back-to-back. Woo-hoo!
There were pick sixes as well. They weren't just steals.
It was electric.
There was 3 pick sixes in that third quarter.
It was electric.
Which does not happen in a playoff
game. It sounded loud that third quarter on my radio.
It was. It kept escalating, and then Tony Brothers stepped in and ruined it.
My apologies if this has been said, but Jimmy Butler, players averaging 28 points per game, 5 assists, 2 steals, and 50% in a single postseason. Jimmy Butler and Michael Jordan. What the hell?
It might be Luka after tonight, too. That's I'm done trying to understand this. He's just a different dude. He's a different guy.
Oh my God.
And it's such hard work.
Yeah, Michael.
Too.
I mean,
it's leaning a shoulder into someone to slow down a Boston run and getting 2 free throws. Like, it seemed like every time that Miami was struggling in the game last night, he got 2 free throws through hard freaking work. There's nothing easy about what he does. Nothing.
How many? It's like Derrick Henry every postseason. I'm like, how is this not caught up to him?
Yeah.
How is. It did last postseason, by the way. Mm-hmm. It did last season where you had an epically short turnaround and it led to a sweep. But how? all those postseason minutes. How is he this strong? How is he still playing this way? He's played for Tom Thibodeau in two different cities.
And when they tell the stories of Jimmy Butler and made of barbed wire, and he's got more dog in him than anybody out there, and he emasculates Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins because they're young guys, and like, why does it have to be like this? When these guys talk about the hard work, I think that gets lost. The strength and the hard work, the ability to get that many free throws that way. I don't understand the evolution of this player, because I thought the miles of Thibodeau and the miles of trying to do this with teams that weren't good enough would not make this his prime. I didn't think he was capable of this, obviously. I underestimated that he was capable of consistently doing this, and he's made me eat my underestimation.
Well, I think most people never imagined this, Dan.
Okay.
I mean, but I just gave you a stat. It's him and Jordan. But that's it in the history of the NBA.
But it's one of the reasons that this is confusing, because it's not just Stugatz. When you say Jimmy Butler does it the hard way, it's not just that he's putting up these numbers and you're like, how is this possible? I did not think that Jimmy Butler was this. He is doing it in the hardest way imaginable, which is, I'm not going to do this getting hot from three. I'm not going to do this the way that Steph and some of these other people are going to do it. I'm going to two you to death. I'm coming in with my shoulder, and I'm going to get 18 free throws. And what are you going to do about it? You're just going to keep fouling me. And you're within nine, and what's going to happen? You're going to foul me. You're going to foul me. And it's just a really rugged way to play basketball.
Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. Wherever you're starting, there's thousands of classes to get you moving. Whether that's beginners or advanced rides, feel-good live DJ rides, or artist-themed rides, they've got something for you. Peloton bike instructors keep you motivated from day one. They'll show you the basics, help take the guesswork out of your workout, and encourage you to build from there. And now with Peloton Entertainment, you can keep moving and watch your favorite TV shows and live sports as you ride. Perfect for those days when you don't want to miss a thing. And if you don't have a bike, take a dance class, take a core class, take Pilates, take a stretching class, start a program with Andy, do a core program with Emma. You can do it all at Peloton. You can get a Peloton row, and you're not even going to get wet because it's inside your own house without water. How'd they do it? I don't know. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or bike plus rental at onepeloton.com/bike rentals. Terms apply.
Howdy folks, it's Mike Ryan. I'm living the gimmick right now. The playoffs have already gotten me, and we're a couple of days into it. It's like a playoff equinox that's going on right now. It's ridiculous, and if you're like me, you like rooting on your team. Trust me, I just bought three for my wife, daughter, and myself for game one. I live it, because I've been out there. I've been out in those streets. I've been panicking last second trying to find deals. And then when I eventually settle on something, I'm not sure if it's the lowest price out there, and I'm getting just totally blitzed with surprise fees. Well, thankfully, Game Time takes it out of the equation. All the fees are up front. There's no surprises. You get to see what your seat looks like. It's amazing, the technology we have these days. But Game Time has your back always. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app right now, create an account, and use code DAN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code DAN for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute deals, lowest price, guaranteed.
Don Lebatard.
Oh, I think Larry Fitzgerald's on the green right there.
Stugatz.
That's Alfonso Ribeiro.
How do you think that Larry Fitzgerald
and the son.
Oh, the son.
To be fair.
All right, whatever.
Alfonso Ribeiro has a great ass.
This is the Don Lebatard show with the Stugatz.
We're presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code DAN for a special offer when you sign up. That's code DAN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
Did you see that one sequence? I think it was early in the game. I happened to watch this at the Panther game. It was when the Celtics were on a big-time run, and they went to Jimmy to, like, hey, stop the bleeding. Jimmy isolated one-on-one against Time Lord, who we would argue was a defensive player of the year. And he just puts a shoulder in him. And Williams goes flying. And he gets right to the cup, easy two-hand stuff. And you kind of take it for granted that what he did, there aren't many people in this league that can do that nowadays. It's like LeBron. That was a LeBron move.
This is a defense that just got done with Giannis.
Right.
And taking that punishment for seven games.
Missing two players,
Jimmy Butler
though.
Was still... Right, no, you're right. This yes. is absolutely worth
and
noting.
Williams, and Williams was gassed. Like, Williams, this is how you can't drop in the... You can't drop in the sky like Ben Simmons. He was great. Well, you can't say that in the first half. He was great.
That's fair.
He was.
He had his best offensive game
ever. He was just exhausted. He was just exhausted.
Speaking of the first half, they needed a jolt because the focus is on Jimmy, and it should be on Jimmy. He was great. But Tyler Hero in that first half...
Kept him in the game.
Kept him in the game. Like, came off the bench, gave him a spark, kept him in the game, got the crowd going, got the energy going. He kept them in the game.
And you could see where Boston fans would point to, saying, see, there's where we miss Marcus Smart, and just having another big body like Al Horford, who's a good defender, to be in that paint and meet Jimmy
Butler.
The
drop-off to Tice is massive.
The drop-off...
Like, the Bam being able to help off of Tice
right.
is so important for
right.
that.
But they got contributions from Pritchard that would kind of offset, certainly offensively, what Marcus Smart would be, I think, by a great deal. That wasn't about those guys missing. It's awfully convenient for me to say. But I would really just, I'm curious to know what this team would look like in the postseason with Kyle Lowry. I'm genuinely, do you even play this guy at this point? Because Miami seems to have been cooking.
What happened in Philadelphia was you saw the difference between 80% of Kyle Lowry or 75% of Kyle Lowry is not as good as what you'd get from Strus and Vincent.
It's amazing. I mean, they're making a postseason run with Max Strus and Gabe Vincent.
Undrafted player and P.J. Tucker, who's a second-round pick. Like, I know he's not their second-round pick, but it's just sort of, it's a weird team, and no one is going to believe in it, and no one is going to trust it, Stugatz, because it's just weird. I do think the Miami Heat nationally would be the biggest surprise winner for the nation of the title this year. I believe if the
more Heat, so than Dallas,
if the Heat are holding up the trophy, I think.
I think Dallas probably first, then the Heat.
Okay.
Like, yeah,
but I think there's going to be a feeling like this team and Jimmy Butler cannot do it until he has proven that he can do it. But his quote after the game yesterday is not just, I like physicality. He says, like, I want to run into people and see who falls down first. Who's going to quit first?
Oh, goosebumps.
He's a menace.
He is. Yeah. He is a badass.
I'm a little scared while you read that.
And this is finally a team that channels that. I think every other team has, like, his teammates have not been up for that. The organization hasn't been up for that.
The coach wants to fight him. The coach right. wants to fight him. The reporting from Windhorse now is that Eric Spoelstra spent the rest of that game not coaching, just trying to stand on the sidelines and maintain his fury, like, to keep it down because Jimmy's crazy. Jimmy's crazy.
They're a league best 17-5, I think, since that altercation. And if you can remember, that altercation started a downward spiral. So that's really loaded with, like, three losses right off the bat. They've been really good since they cleaned everything up during the worst stretch of basketball.
Well, but you tell me how this stuff works, because we take that now and we say the Sparks and the thrown clipboard were, because their record has been good since then. But I saw 1 minute of the Phoenix Suns dapping up before game 7. It was a full minute. And then they went out there and played that game. It was JaVale McGee taking fake photographs. It was a minute of dapping. They were dancing. They were so loose. And if they'd won that game, we would say, look how loose they are. They are not scared of anything.
Right.
But now it's a clown show because they scored 27 points in the first half. And DeAndre Ayton dancing around for a minute dapping is not viewed as, well, they were relaxed and not scared, and therefore they played well. The Miami Heat, we're reinventing that, right? We're saying that there's this cauldron of fury.
Galvanize the team.
They're all business, man.
We needed to spill out onto the court. I can tell you through my own
what
reporting.
What was that?
It was not good. It was not good.
But what was that?
But
that,
it helped.
But
I mean,
that needed to spill out of the court.
There's still residual effects from that. It's still kind of weird.
Mike.
How they doing?
They're
Mike,
winning.
It spilled out into the court in a way that state television, Heat TV, did not broadcast. Something so ugly and mean that had in the middle of it. The reporting is now that Spoelstra is looking at Jimmy Butler and saying, you are crazy. I knew you were crazy. And spends
That was such an underrated part of that. Like, I knew you were crazy.
The way he said that?
Yeah. The reporting.
Wait, Spo actually said that?
The reporting is, okay, that you think I'm making this up. You guys think that I'm making up with writer's flourish. That no, at the center of this cauldron of crazy, at the military compound where the Heat play, the general who has never before thrown a clipboard at somebody spent the fourth quarter furious and fuming, not coaching, just furious, because he and Jimmy were coming close to having a fight. And Jimmy, in the middle of it, Spo is saying to him some form of, I'll see what the quote is, according to Windhorse, it's either I knew you were crazy, or this confirms that you're crazy, or some...
Are you bleeping crazy? Like, kind of as a confirmation, that is according to the investigative reporting of Worldwide Wob.
Because he wanted to fight. Because Spolstra wanted to fight.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, you want to fight me? Are you bleeping crazy? And it was a realization that he indeed was crazy. We're doing a lot of fun numbers and holding up like the record after that. And the narrative will build around it, galvanizing. I'm here to tell you, it was very weird. They wish it didn't happen. And it's so kind of weird in that locker room. That number also kind of coincides with a larger Max Strus role, who I thought had a very fascinating game last night, Chris.
Yeah, he started horrifically. I thought, because I've been waiting throughout this playoff run for the Heat to get playoff basketballed, because I don't think Atlanta and Philadelphia are good enough to really test those role guys and figure out, hey, is Gabe Vincent going to survive on the floor when it really gets difficult, when Jeff Van Gundy is using that Pat Riley cliche, play nine or trust seven and only really go to the wall with five? Like, I do think that these guys, Strus and Vincent and Martin, the guys that are no names, who are young and have never done this before, I was kind of waiting for them to get targeted, and Strus did last night in the first quarter. He was abysmal.
They were going at him.
They were going at him.
And look, it's hard to play defense in these are monster athletes, all of them. So it's hard to play defense. And Max Strus was in the middle of things and the middle of bad things.
But also in the second half, he then lines up some threes and was totally fine afterwards. And I think the reason why you mentioned that lineup change, it was for Duncan Robinson. The Heat culture stuff is about not letting it faze you when you have an abysmal first half, because it's going to happen. But it feels like Duncan Robinson recedes into a shell in that moment. And Max Strus was clearly unbothered by it. He kept shooting. And some of them were like from 5 feet behind the line, like the crazy-ass regular season shots that he would take.
Let me explain to you. I know the people in this audience are so, so very tired. So tired of culture talk. But I will just say the root word is cult, and this is all absolutely a cult. And Max Strus is like one of the most maximum brainwash there is. Yeah, I'm a robot. I will keep shooting. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Duncan will not take my job. Yes, sir. I'll shoot 10 times. I've missed 7. That's okay. I will keep shooting. I will not stop. I will be Jeff Van Gundy will be singing my praises. Oh, my God. This guy is a spot up shooter. That's clean. That gets out efficient. This is one of the robots they birthed in their machine, and it spits out now, and maybe it travels on the road, right? Like this, it didn't in Philadelphia.
Well, they're 23-5 when Strus starts.
It didn't in Philadelphia.
It did for the clinching game. It did for the clinching game in Game 6. Max Strus was it was a two-man wrecking crew, Jimmy Butler and Max Strus. Strus was going at Joel Embiid at the rim, and one of the pieces of reporting that the ESPN broadcast said, or was it Turner? I forget. But it was an ESPN broadcast. They said before that game, Pat Riley, during shoot-around that day, went up to Max Strus and had a moment with Max Strus. And this is part of the legend building. This is Godfather Riles stuff.
Wow.
And he issued him a direct challenge.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love that.
Which is, honestly, it's just not something.
Riles.
What does that mean?
I love it.
Who cares?
Direct challenge. But it's kind of like Pat knowing that he could do that to Max was the encouraging sign. Maybe he's done that in his history to Duncan Robinson, I'm sure, and it just hasn't landed. But when you heard that and you saw how Max was performing, you got all the validation that you needed for this move to bench the $19 million a year player.
That's what Riley does, Dan.
No, this is a ridiculous
Godfather.
Thing.
Godfather.
That's what he does.
Yep.
He goes up to Magic Johnson in the finals, and he tells him exactly how the Rookie of the Year votes went in the most crucial moment. That was a real thing that happened. Definitely not dramatized for a television audience.
You either respond and you're with him for life, and if you don't, you're Duncan Robinson.
In an organization of Heat lifers.
Well, Duncan Robinson did get a 5-year contract.
So. Yeah, that's true.
$90 million a year.
Another guy who wasn't highly regarded, $90 million. I imagine they're going to trade that at some point because they have.
Got to find a taker for it, but I imagine. Look,
there's always the next.
Shooting league. How many points did their undrafted backcourt give them in that second half? Is it close to 30? This franchise is unreal.
Okay, but. As people will get annoyed by what it is that you're doing, which is celebrating one victory. Like you have careened over the course of this hour, and this is coming from somebody who was confused between the sports and the balls used to play them.
Wait a second, Mike. Is this series over? Is the Heat series over?
You careened after one game to the most predictable emotional place on the team that lost and the most predictable emotional place on the team that won, where you are stargazing and saying, this amazing franchise, my undrafted free agent, after one game, are you willing to declare it over? You said long series before this.
No, it will be a long series, but here's when you ask me if it's over, do I think the Heat are going to win the series now that they took game one in the fashion that they did? Yes, I do. It also appears like Al Horford's going to be out the next game and possibly even game three. Al Horford is unvaccinated, so he is going to have a longer turnaround. It stands to reason. Here's why I think the Miami Heat win this series. For Boston to win this series, they're going to have to win 4 out of the next 5 games to force a game 7. Just to get to the point where it's nearly impossible, given playoff history, to win a Game 7 on the road. Dallas Mavericks blowout notwithstanding. It's hard to do that. And now Boston has to beat Miami at a clip that they haven't proven to anybody in this listening audience they can do. So I do think that Miami wins the series, but I'm also knowing that I'm going to be in for the long haul.
I am not overreacting to anything here. Not that first half, nor the third quarter, nor the second half. Because in that first half, nothing made sense about what was happening. The Miami Heat defense hasn't allowed that at the rim the entire series. And you're like, wait a minute. When this team had Robert Williams and was healthy, that Celtics team was dragging everyone in the sport. And it was all of a sudden, it looked like, well, this is the healthiest Robert Williams can possibly look. He's gone from not playing at all in his last game 7 and hobbling around during that whole series to, oh, he's dominating this game at the paint. He's roaring in the arena in a way several times on blocks and on dunks where you can hear he's the only voice in the place.
Can I pose a theory to you guys? See if you guys bite on this.
Sure.
Run up the flag. Pulse who salutes. I think the nature in which Al Horford was announced out kind of confused Miami. They were preparing for a certain thing, and Robert Williams hadn't been playing, and we saw Robert Williams eating at the cup in a way that we've never really seen him do so, and I think it had a lot to do with a last-second change to the plan and how they attacked the game, and we saw an adjustment at halftime from Eric Spoelstra.
I think that's fair, because they knew about Marcus Smart. They knew he was likely not going to play. They did not know about Big Al until a couple of hours before
that's
the game.
That's a depleted Celtics team, and I just ask you, when we make these things, Stugatz, about the individual players, as we will, inevitably, these are how these stories clash, right, Stugatz? It's where Isaiah Thomas gets his legend. It's where, you know, Magic
Johnson.
It's Jordan
climbing over Isaiah to make his, right?
And we've been talking about, and you've been talking about, Tatum can be Durant. Tatum can be Durant.
He is Durant.
Well, but this is the time now, right? This is how those stories get told, because Durant doesn't have anything in your personal record book because he couldn't climb through this thicket and get where you wanted him to go, which is you got to win all of them. You can't get to the finals. Get close. You got to win. You got to keep winning. Jason Tatum has dispatched in a way that will make his stardom rise nationally, and they sang his praises at halftime. They're dying to sing his praises. These network partners want to build tomorrow's stars. It would be great. Jason Tatum looks the part, fluid, cool, fun to watch.
Celtics.
We've known him since college. Cool story. We'll sell this. Just be great. All you got to do is be great. And he's looking at it and is like, oh, this is hard. This gets hard. It's Giannis, and now I don't have rest. Miami had all the advantages last night. Miami has to win game one. Like, Miami, get out of here. Boston didn't have its players, and Miami had all of the advantages. Rest. They go into the game with the analysis, and they ask Mark Jackson, what's it going to be? Rest or rust? And he's like, well, it's happened where it's been rust for me, and it's happened where it's been rest. We'll see. Time will tell was the analysis.
Ah.
Time will tell. And you never know what those things are going to be, but Miami had the advantages.
Well, time will tell.
Yes. Time did tell, yes. Put it on the poll, Chris. Will time tell? You'll always be right if what you say is time will tell.
No doubt. It's a nice job by Mark Jackson. Whittingham was telling me that I need to come down and see Jason Tatum in person. Like, what'd you see there?
Well, first of all, he's tall. Like, he's tall beyond what you think he is. He's not 6'7".
But he wasn't telling me to come all the way down to Miami to see how tall he is.
Well, it's because in that first half, he did all the shit that has built his legend over the course of the first two rounds, taking out Giannis and taking out Durant. The shots that he was making,
such a good first half,
unreal. A floating away at the free throw line with one hand, and it goes in. It was absolutely insane, the shots that he was making. And then, if you had stayed for the second half, you would have seen absolutely nothing. And I do think that they have to get over what happened in that bubble, like from a mental standpoint. It seemed like at halftime that everything was fine, but then clearly, Bam came out and was a different person. Well, he only shot four times in the game, but completely changed the game defensively in the second half.
So let's talk about this, right? Because this is never the sexy thing. This is never the sexy thing. Defense, it's just never. And Boston's is said to be better. They're about even. I haven't seen a lot of difference between those defenses. Some people make the arguments when Bam is in or when Robert Williams is in, but both of these defenses are exceptional. And in the first half yesterday, you guys tell me, we got a lot of this, right? And this stuff is hard. Bam, be more aggressive. Be more aggressive. Where's Bam? Where's Bam? First half. And this happens all the time with Heat fans. It swings from playoff series to playoff series, year to year, week to week. Bam, where's the aggressive? And then in the third quarter, it's block shots at the rim. It's the crazy amoeba defense, right? This, you guys all love this part, right? When Bam comes out, and no matter whether it's Tatum or Jaylen Brown, no, I'll check you from half court. Let's go. Where you want to go? You want to go to the rim? Okay, I'll put your ball right here. Where you remember when I did this to Tatum, right? I'm going to put your ball right here. I'm going to sandwich it in Jaylen.
That was so cool.
The wedgie.
Yeah, there is a mental aspect to this that Dan the Writer may love, and it's what the Florida Panthers have to overcome in their battles with the Tampa Bay Lightning. They need to take out this team. Jason Tatum needs to overcome this team. It's going to be great drama. I'm watching the highlights right now of everything that I heard on the radio, and Chris Cody and I locked eyes, and he's like,
yeah, pick the wrong game.
Yeah, we picked the wrong game.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vandercoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.